Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Acts. We will be reading from chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verses 1 through 21. It is found on page 994 of your Pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday. It is the Sunday when we celebrate the Spirit of God being poured out on the early Christian community and indeed poured out on the church. Pentecost, of course, was a Jewish festival. It was celebrated 50 days after the Passover celebration. And it was usually celebrated in order to commemorate the giving of the law from Mount Sinai to the early Jews as they made their way to the Promised Land. The law was the guide that would lead and guide the Jewish people as they made their way to the Promised Land. But for many of us Christians, for all of us Christians, the Holy Spirit that comes at Pentecost is the guide that will lead us as we proclaim the good news of the gospel through the ends of the world. Now, one of the things I like whenever I go to the movies is I like the special effects. I'm a special effects kind of person. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I go to the show is because of the special effects. And it's easy for us when we read this story of Pentecost to get caught up in the special effects. The rushing wind, the tongues of fire, the speaking in languages and tongues. But Pentecost is not so much about special effects as it is about the effectiveness in proclaiming the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit does a number of things for us as God's people, but I want to talk about at least two of them briefly this morning. Okay, you have to be quiet, okay? One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that it sets the church on fire with the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's almost impossible to do anything if you don't have passion for it. Jesus himself was a very passionate person. He was passionate about God. He was passionate in his love and concern for people. And of course, he was passionate about the kingdom of God, the kingdom that he came to initiate. Jesus was a very passionate person. And if you've ever seen people who have passion about something, you know that their passion is often very contagious. I remember sitting in a park one day several years ago in Atlanta on Memorial Day and watching a group of young people pass out flyers for something that they were advocating. And I can't even remember what they were advocating about, but you could feel their passion as they were going from group to group of people who were out picnicking. Their passion was quite contagious. They believed that they had the answer to the world's problems. They believed that what they were doing would actually make a difference, and so as they were passing out their flyers, you could just feel their passion. And I remember thinking to myself, I wish that we in the church had that same kind of passion today, the kind of passion to believe that what we were really doing makes a difference, that we have the answer to the world's problems. And yet at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, and that's what the Spirit does. It sets the church on fire with the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice when you read the book of Acts that the early church doesn't need a vision. They don't really need a vision for what they are called to do because they already have a vision. And the vision is the kingdom of God. That's the vision that fires them up. But what they need is passion. They need passion to go out and proclaim that vision. And so that's what the Holy Spirit brings them on that first Pentecost. It fires them up with the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what it should do for us too. We should be passionate about God. We should be passionate about our love and concern for our fellow human beings. And of course, we should be passionate about the kingdom of God. The second thing that the Spirit does is that it sends the early Christian community out. We said a few Sundays ago that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same Spirit that fell on Jesus at his baptism in the River Jordan. And the gospel writers tell us that it's the Holy Spirit that sends Jesus out. Indeed, in Mark's gospel, we are told that the Spirit drives Jesus out. Immediately, Mark tells us that the Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness where he will begin his ministry. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus himself says, quoting the prophet Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and it's the Spirit that sends Jesus out to proclaim the good news. So we are not surprised to learn that when the Holy Spirit falls on the early church, one of the first things that it does is that it sends them out. Up until then, they'd all been meeting in the upper room, you'll remember. They'd been meeting in the upper room, worshiping and praising God. That's what we are told at the last of Luke's gospel, that they're in the upper room and they're worshiping and they're praising God. But then when the Spirit comes, the Spirit sends them out into the world. For some reason, God wants God's people to be on the move. For some reason, one of the most dangerous things for us is to be too settled and too comfortable and too insular in our Christian walk. There's something that's spiritually dangerous about that. If you notice in the Bible, whenever God calls somebody, God calls them to be on the move. God calls Abraham, and God calls Abraham to be on the move, to leave his comfort zone, to leave his family and the house of his father and to be on the move, to go to a place where God will show him. When God calls Israel, God calls them to be on the move. And indeed, when God calls the early church, God calls them too to be on the move. God sends God's Spirit upon them and sends them out into the world. I'm sure they would have preferred to stay in the upper room, in the comfort of the upper room, worshiping and praising God. That's a good thing. It's good to be in a place together, worshiping and praising God. But worshiping and praising in God is not what we are just called to do, but we are called to be a people who takes the good news of the gospel and the good news of the kingdom of God out into the world. What's interesting when you read the book of Acts is that they are constantly trying to keep up with the Spirit. It's the Spirit that is moving, and the Spirit moves here, and they're trying to constantly keep up with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit often sends them the places and the people that they would rather not go to. The Spirit sends Philip to an Ethiopian eunuch. Eunuchs were considered to be sexual deviants. No Jew in his right mind would have anything to do with the eunuch, but that's where the Holy Spirit sends Philip. He sends him to an Ethiopian eunuch to pray, and the Ethiopian eunuch receives the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends Peter to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. Jews would have nothing to do with Gentiles. Gentiles were considered to be unclean. You would not have to have anything to do with Gentiles. You were not to eat with them, to visit with them in any kind of way. But that's where the Holy Spirit sends Peter. He sends him to the house of Cornelius. And the whole of Cornelius' household receives the Lord Jesus Christ and sets into play for many more Gentiles to receive the Holy Spirit and to become the people of God. And of course, the Spirit sends Ananias to a man named Paul, to a man named Saul. Saul is a man who's been persecuting Christians, and Ananias says, "Lord, I don't want to go. I've heard about this man. He's dangerous." But that's where the Holy Spirit sends him, to a man named Saul, later to become Paul. And so the Holy Spirit sends us out. The Holy Spirit sends us out into the world, to people and to places that we would sometimes rather not go. And it's that Spirit that will send us out this morning. We are called to be that community, that passionate community of God's people who are called to go out in the world. We are called to be that people who are fired up with the good news, fired up with the gospel, fired up with the coming of the kingdom. That's what we are called to be, fired up with bringing the good news to the poor, fired up with bringing the good news to those who are homeless, fired up with bringing the good news to people who believe there is no good news. We have something to show the world, something to bring the world, something to tell the world. We have a vision of the future, of God's coming future, that future that the disciples often lived out in their practices together when they met around a table and shared food and broke bread and shared what they had with one another. They lived out the vision. And we are called to bring that vision out into the world and to be passionate about that vision. One of the things that concerns me about the church today, particularly many of our Presbyterian churches and formerly mainline churches, is that we no longer have the passion, or at least it doesn't seem that we have the passion that the world can be a better place. But that's what we are called to be fired up about. That's what the Spirit comes to do. When the Spirit poured out, it's poured out upon us. It sends us out. It sets us on fire with the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So on this day, as we celebrate Pentecost, it's appropriate that we too go out into the world to passionately share the good news with our friends and our neighbors in this surrounding community. But we're reminded that Pentecost is not just a day. It's not even a season. Pentecost is, of course, the longest season in the church year. But Pentecost is not just a season. It's not just a day. But Pentecost is a way of life, a way of life in which we are constantly guided by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the coming of his kingdom. Do you feel fired up this morning? Amen. Feel fired up? Amen. We'll see, because we're getting ready to go out to the community to share the good news. So I hope you are fired up. Let's pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your Spirit being upon us. We give you thanks for your Spirit being upon this community of faithful people here at Olney Presbyterian Church. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to be open to the movement of your Spirit among us as we go out this morning and share the good news with the people in this community. Lord, help us to know what to say. Help us to be able to engage those around us. There will be those in the midst of this community who will think that what we are doing are strange, who will be asking what we're doing this Sunday morning. Maybe we're not in our right mind. Maybe we're even a little inebriated. But the good news is that we are filled with your Spirit of love, your Spirit of hope, the Spirit that goes with us in the midst of all that we do. So we ask, Lord, that you help us to be open to the movement of your Spirit as you lead and guide us this morning in the midst of our community. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.